So we are, as Christians, to learn and remind ourselves to be about the Father's business. What the Father's business is the Lord's business. They're in the same business. And that's why it's important that we often consider what James has to say in James chapter 4. Verse 13 to 15, you know it well. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go and do such and such, and spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Wherein you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. You can see why it's important in major decisions in our lives and things that we're considering doing that may occupy more of our time, that we need to always remember, is the Lord in this? You know, have I subjected this to the Lord? Otherwise, there's a danger here of being distracted, you know. Does the Lord care about this thing I'm interested in, or is it something I care about? You know, is it something that really interests me? Then I better bring the Lord in, because we must always remember what? He's the master. And we should say, if the Lord wills. If you approve, is what he's saying. If you approve, Lord, I will do this or I will do that. Because I recognize you're the boss. And I must not be sidetracked by busyness and things that I consider important or things I want to do. For you may not be in this. You may not be in me moving here or moving there. You may not be in me doing this at this moment of time. You may say, hey, I have other things I'm interested in. Leave this alone. See, some things are for the future. Some things, again, God may not care too much about at a given time. At other times, he does. And he says, I want your undivided attention now. You know, you have time for some of this later. And so, again, we must always come back to the Spirit. And see, this is why we have to pray and pursue the Lord over matters, over sometimes things that seemingly on the surface, maybe the Lord's in this. Maybe a door has opened. But sometimes we do have to look at it another way and says, but who opened the door? You know, was it really the Lord, or was it the devil to distract me? You know, and thought, it was the Lord. See, he comes as what? An angel of light. He imitates the Lord. He carries through anything to sidetrack us. Again, he doesn't always come as I am the mean one. He's called an angel of light. He appears often as God would. See, when Peter said to the Lord, when the Lord told him he's going to the cross, he said, pity yourself, spare yourself. He thought he was doing Jesus a favor. And Jesus, immediately being so discerning, recognized it was the devil motivating Peter. And he said, get behind me, Satan. You don't discern the things of God. See, Peter, his natural affection and feelings for Jesus was used by the devil. And Jesus was clever enough to discern this. And it shocked Peter. See, Peter didn't know he was being used as a devil. He meant, oh, Lord, spare yourself. You know, if you can, save your life. Well, see, what he was saying was the very opposite of what Jesus had come into the world for. I've come to give my life as a ransom. If I save my life, Peter, you'll end up in hell. You don't know what you're asking. Lay your feelings and emotions aside and find out what the will of God is. So often it's subtle, you know. So we don't presume as we go with the Lord that I can do this or I can do that. Or I can make major decisions without consulting him, as if he will rubber stamp it. Because often the Lord will let you go your way without interfering. He'll let you stumble and fall because you haven't listened or pursued him in the matter. See, sometimes his ways are difficult. And sometimes he doesn't always interfere. He'll bring us back and say, well, you should have known. You know, why should I have warned you? You should have known. So, see, again, we have to consider the Lord and what he cares about. Galatians 6. 4 and 5. But let each one examine his own work. I like sometimes to say, let each one examine his own cares, his own duties. You know, and it means before the Lord is what he's talking about. And then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. He won't have to compare himself. You won't have to be looking around saying, well, what are they doing? You're not preoccupied. You should be preoccupied with what you're supposed to be doing for the Lord. Leave other people to the Lord. You know, if we were as worried about ourselves, we'd be really a lot further along. See, we don't need to be worried with other people and their duty before God. They will answer to God. You worry about your own, because you're ultimately the only one that can alter your walk with the Lord. You can't change nobody else's. You can warn, you can admonish, you can encourage, but ultimately they have to choose. So he's simply saying, for each one shall bear his own burden. Each one shall bear his own cares. His own cares before the Lord. So he's saying we ought to examine ourselves. We ought to at times say, am I busy about the Father's business? Or am I busy about my business? Or I'm just not busy at all. So we need to sometime reconsider, because God does not always initiate this. He allows us to do it. And sometimes he allows us to reap the consequences if we do not. So we should pursue him. We should consider him, especially if you're making major changes or things that interfere with what you feel the Lord's already dealing with you on. You know, often we need to finish what's in hand. We need to be faithful at the post the Lord's already given us. God usually doesn't take us to something else if we're not finished or if he's not finished. So if we're going to do something else, let's make sure we've taken care of the master's business, that we've not just forsaken it, gotten up and said, well, now it's time for a change. You know, just because we have a restless nature or we are not interested sometimes in what the Lord's business is. See? Sometimes the natural side of us doesn't want to do the will of the Lord, and that's when we go to the cross. We say, well, it don't matter what I want. What does the master want? See, that's where maturity and duty comes in. See, once you enter in more into maturity, you're not led by feelings and moods. See, people always, well, I don't feel like doing. Well, who cares? Who cares what you feel like doing? God doesn't. You know? He doesn't care what people feel. He feels whether they're going to obey him is what he's interested in. He cares about, are they going to obey what I tell them to do? Not whether they feel like it or not. He already told you and me that we have to take up our cross daily. So he's already told you you're going to have to die to your feelings and moods to serve me. So why should he be interested in how you feel? You should be saying, give me grace to do what you want me to do, Lord. Even if I don't want to do it, what does that matter? Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. Didn't matter, did it? He wanted to obey the Father, and he did. And so we have to learn. The same Spirit of Christ wants to teach us the same attitude. 2 Corinthians 3:17. When we serve the Lord, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and my burden. It's easy and light. It's not grievous. It's difficult at times to do the will of the Lord. But the difference is the Christian gets grace to do it. It's not an overwhelming thing that he has to always struggle with. He's given grace if he pursues God the right way. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. He gives us a freedom in doing his business. See, this again is a sign when a person's backslidden or carnal or worldly, they have no interest. They have no new nature that desires the things of God. So they don't have a freedom. It's a bondage. It's a burden that they have to, oh, I got to do this or God will get on me. See, once you have that attitude, you're still revealing something. Something hasn't gone to the cross. But see, Jesus said something interesting even in the hard places. Paul, the same thing. Through all of Paul's sufferings, he said what? Rejoice. And again I say, rejoice. And he bore some hard things. Yet he got grace, didn't he? And you see the grace working in him. The Lord, Scripture says that Jesus himself has said he delighted in doing the will of the Father. So as we grow in grace, as the new nature we allow to mature in us, it does have a freedom. And then the burdens of the Lord are not overwhelming. See why? He says, because we take His yoke. The helper comes alongside. And He says, and I will give you the ability and the grace to do what I require. So in a sense, it is made easier. He does not give that to the backslidden and the worldly and the self-centered. He cannot. So again, we can, from the new nature, we can delight in doing God's will, even when the lower nature and our natural side is in conflict. We can take up the cross, and it's a cross, it's a dying. But at the same time, we can say, I delight to do your will. This is what pleases God, then it must please me. You know, this is what part of the joy of the Lord is, or the peace with God. See, that's why someone said one time, and I thought it was good counsel, says if you're trapped and you feel like you have to make a decision, and you feel like you've got to do it, says then pick the hardest way. It's usually the Lord, and He'll give you grace. Don't look for the easy way out. Look for the way that God's going to have to help you. Because usually, if it's an easy way, God isn't in any way. There's usually no endurance, no steadfastness, and no conflict involved. Remember, we're in a spiritual war. We're in a spiritual warfare. And so He wants us to be at liberty in Him. But see, it only comes in the Lord. The kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Often this happiness cannot be found in the world, nor in our lower nature. But we can have a joy and a pleasant peace that I am doing the will of the Lord, yet your lower nature and your natural man can say, I don't like it, but so what, so what? See, we learn to obey the Lord. Even Christ, it says, learned obedience through the things He suffered. We suffer the will of the Lord at times. And it's a suffering. That's what we endure. We endure the saying no to our nature and to what we want. And we say, but I want to do your will. I do have a new man or a new woman that does want to please you. You know. And so again, we need to see that it is not a bondage as we walk in the Lord, because He gives grace. It is not this thing that the continual dread is on us. Even heavy burdens at times when the Lord puts on us and certain things, He still gives grace. It is not meant to wear us down. He's meant to give us enough to do as He pleases and to do what He wants done. You know, it is not meant to break us or to wear us out. So that's why we seek grace, that it won't. We seek the helper to come alongside and help us when we figure we've done all we can do, and unless God helps, can't do no more. But if God helps, I'll keep doing His will. See, that's what the spirit of perseverance is all about. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 58, we were there not too long ago. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Be persevering, being unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always abounding, fruitful in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. See, we have to remember the cares of the Lord are to occupy our thinking. But see where many Christians get misled or discouraged or misunderstand. It's not that we get up each morning and I must fill every minute and hour with what is God's will in the next 5 minutes. You know, that would wear us out, wouldn't it? See, if we learn to live and obey the Lord as He guides us day by day, our life naturally begins to follow the Lord. We're not always thinking moment by moment, is this the Lord? We naturally live out the life He's given us to live out. And the dealings with people and His providential movings as we meet people, we simply live the Christian life and give God opportunity. Because again, then we are abounding in His work. See, whether we're doing anything outward or not, we're still abiding. If we walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit, we're doing this consistently, you know. But it's not always an outward thing. See, people think outward activity often is a sign of spirituality. Often it's a sign of a restless spirit. See, many people that are very busy, so-called for the Lord's work, are very restless people. They cannot be still before God because their heart's not right. And they often are trying to serve God their way, so in a sense they can ease their conscience. And their service is unacceptable and wicked before the Lord. And they don't know it. Just like Sardis and Laodicea, very unacceptable. See, because the heart is not right. And see, many people, we need to realize too the time we live in. We live in darker times. We are living in a place when Paul said the time will come when they will not endure sound teaching. You'll find, as I've found, that many of the organized churches and so-called religious groups, you're not welcome there. If you follow the Lord and His Word, you become different. And your opportunity of service often will be curtailed. You will not be able to be busy because they won't allow you to. They will separate from you and consider you odd, you know, and narrow-minded. And so often your outward work can be limited. And that's fine if it's before the Lord. See, often we're a silent witness. Often God simply wants us there to be a light. And if they don't come to the light, it's their fault. We're to be ready. Ready for every good work. Ready to give an answer. But if they do not come, it does not matter. We live before the Lord. See, John was in prison, and he wrote the book of Revelation, but that isn't all he did. Paul was in prison, and he wrote Scripture, but there were times he didn't. He was no outward witness. He was confined. But like he said, but the Word of God is not bound. We suffer the will of God often by inactivity, and it's fine if it's the Lord's inactivity. See, it's better to do nothing and wait before the Lord than have a restless spirit and look for things to do that God's not in. And during a dark time, as it gets to be lukewarm and more dark and carnal and false, God is going to restrain Christians more outwardly. When He sends and is sending a famine of the hearing of the Word, He's going to stop doing as much outwardly. But we're still to be a light. We'd still be the candle that if the individual wants to come. We still live before the Lord whether we ever minister to people or not. See, that's the thing of being in the Spirit. You can serve and minister to the Lord without ministering to people if necessary. But we can do both. But again, as this opportunity arises, remember even Ezekiel, he was sent to a rebellious people that God said, "Will not listen to you." Well, we're there. And he said, "At times I'll cause your tongue to cleave to the roof of your mouth, and you will not reprove them." There are times God will say, "Be silent. I don't need your outward ministry. I need you. I want your time." And then to serve is wasteful and disobedient. See, many people, again, equate outward activity. It's better to do one thing in quality before God than 1,000 wasted things. Even David said he'd rather spend one day in God's presence than 1,000 outside. He understood something about God's presence at times. So see, we still serve the Lord. We still abound in the work of the Lord when there's no outward ministry. But are we ready? See, it's one thing to be lazy. It's another to be ready and the people don't want the ministry. Well, I'm up here once a week teaching. I could be teaching 5 nights a week. God could open the doors. He isn't. Because He's sending a famine of the Word. But we're still here. And God finds other ways to minister. But I still have to serve the Lord. And I still have to wait on the Lord regardless, whether I teach or whether I don't. And each one of us has to do the same. You still have to serve the Lord. And as Noah, remember, he preached 120 years and nobody listened to him. He still served the Lord. What did the Hebrew say? The time comes they are persecuted and afflict us and we have to flee and we have to be quiet. At times God says, don't cast pearls. Keep your mouth shut. Let them be deceived. See, we need to discern God's timing for us. Don't let other people put their trip on you. They want to run around and wear themselves out. Let them do it. If God's called them to do it, then let them burn their candle out. Say, I will listen to the Lord. Because you can accomplish a lot more in a little time if you're listening to the Lord than a bunch of activity that God isn't even in. That looks good. sawdust work, Laodicea work, looks good to people, doesn't to God. So again, we need to remember, are we doing His work? And sometimes His work is to watch and wait. Sometimes His work is not outward. So people always think it's outward, but it's not. But we always live before the Lord each day. If we have no outward ministry, we have prayer. We have communion with the Lord. There are things we can do. Again, because the Word of God is not bound and prayer it does not bind. We can pray and do things even when there is no outward ministry. Again, we make sure the Lord's in it. Luke 10. Mary and Martha, perfect example. The cares of this life or the cares of the Master is the question. 10, verse 39. And she had a sister, Martha, called Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. It's interesting. Remember this, because the Lord commends her for this. What did she do? She sat at Jesus' feet. She was inactive. She did nothing. That's why her sister didn't like it. Interesting. Who complained on her? Was her sister, we're going to say. But she did nothing. See, it appears she did nothing. But she sat and she heard. See, she didn't need no outward ministry at this time. And it's interesting what Jesus said about it. But Martha was distracted. Notice the word? She was distracted with the cares of this life. With much serving. And if you had asked Martha, she'd say, well, it was for the Lord. You know, I was really serving the Lord. But the Lord's evaluation seemed to be a little different. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She wanted to be busy and active. And everybody thought, isn't Martha spiritual? Jesus didn't think she was. Other people may have, but Jesus didn't think she was. And yet, look, she attacked. She misunderstood something. She thought she was right. She thought Jesus would understand and get my lazy sister to help me. And notice what she says. And she approached Him and said, Lord, do You not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? To serve alone? My sister's life is really to serve me. You know, I'm so busy about God's business that I need my own personal servant. What gall. And yet, if you read the context, she's really reproving the Lord. Do you not care? Don't you understand what's going on, Lord? Well, He understood very well what was going on. Martha had not only reproached Him, reproached her sister, and tried to excuse herself by her much serving. And notice what He said, therefore, tell her to help me. She don't understand. I have this big ministry. I'm the anointed of the Lord. You know, and I do so much that I need her to help me. Sounded good. Sound like some people I know. That's how big they think they are. They don't realize they're not really serving the Lord. They're serving themselves. They do it for attention. The spiritual person picks this up in a novice, and a baby Christian, a carnal. They'll do a lot, but they'll pick up the motive and intent is often selfish and self-motivated. Not the Spirit of Christ. Spirit of the flesh is behind this. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. He could have just as easily said, you are distracted about many things. You know, many things on your mind and on your agenda. Notice He said, you're worried. You're troubled. He didn't say He was. It's interesting. But one thing is needed. One thing is needed, He said. And Mary has chosen the good part, implying you've chosen the bad part. Isn't it interesting? What was the good thing? What was the one thing? She sat at my feet. She's not working. She's listening. See, there's a time to work and there's a time to listen. See, many people work and they should be listening. If you listen right, you'll know how to work. But many people don't because, see, they're restless. Mary did not have a restless spirit. She understood something. You know, and she served the Lord. And when she did serve the Lord, it's remembered forever. All you ever remember about Martha is she was troubled about many things. That's all you remember about her. But you remember a lot about Mary. And the Lord says she's chosen the good part. What's the good part? Listen to the Master. Find out what concerns him. What does he care about? And what was he saying? All your service for me, Martha, looks good to people, and all of this eating and all of this ado, but I'm not impressed with it. Might impress people. It hasn't impressed me because I see your motive and intent. It's a troublesome to you. It's a worry to you. You're not doing it in the right spirit. And your reaction has proven you're not doing it in the right spirit. It's a restless spirit in you, Martha. You know? You've not learned how to listen. And so all of your service is vain. It's unacceptable to me because I read the motive and the intent of the heart. It's all wood, hay, and stubble. And I see it. But here, over here, your sister Mary, that you find nothing but fault with, and you say she isn't doing nothing, she's chosen the gold and the silver. She's understood the most important thing in the world is to listen to the Master's voice and find out what's on his mind. Not to be running around saying, I hope this pleases you, God, or I'm sort of busy right now, but you know I'm serving you, Lord. Now help me to do what I have to do today. You know, that's nothing but the lower nature. And see, people are impressed that are of the world. Carnal people are impressed by activity. See, that's why great humanitarians, the world is impressed with them. They still go to hell. See, it still doesn't impress God because he sees the motive and intent. It wasn't to serve him. It was to get attention. See, that's how many people get attention. And if they were listening to Jesus, they wouldn't put themselves in that position. See, they'd understand this. And he says, and that will not be taken from her. Everything you're doing, Martha, is wasted. Because you've done it in the wrong spirit. And the activity is not of me. I didn't motivate it. But what Mary's doing, which you think is so unimportant, and she's so unbusy, and she's so lazy she won't even help you, he said, I consider it gold and silver. And it won't be taken from her. It means she'll be rewarded for this. She'll hear. And she did hear. She heard things that Martha never heard. Ecclesiastes in closing. Are we busy about the Lord's business? Do we care with what he's concerned with, not what we think he should be concerned with? After Proverbs 12, verses 13 and 14, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Excuse me. For this is the whole duty of man. You can translate this. Fear God, which means to serve and honor and love him, which is summed up by keeping his word. That's the way you prove it. For this is the whole care of man. This is the whole concern of the man as far as God is concerned. He's saying that is man's whole care why he's placed on this planet, is to fear God, to obey him, and to do what concerns him. And then he tells us why. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. Now, he just happened to do it with Martha and Mary on the spot, didn't he? He brought forth what her work was. And he revealed to her that it was unacceptable when it appeared acceptable to other people. When the natural man, and when Christians often misunderstand us, we need to go back and say, does it matter? Am I doing the Lord's will, not theirs? See, often I found that people will advise you and counsel you, but they don't know God's counsel for you sometimes. And God tells you, don't waste your time telling them because it's none of their business. See, we had to learn to do our own business before the Lord. See, the Lord warned us about being busybodies. And sometimes people are too concerned with other Christians' ministries and works when they need to be concerned with their own. If they were just as concerned with their own, they'd be going a lot further. But they sit and pick and criticize like Martha when they are in error. See, they haven't seen the log that is in their own eyes, and they're looking for splinters. They have not attained sometimes to the perfection or maturity of some of the people they're criticizing. Because, see, they can't understand spiritual things. So that person hasn't fallen into their mold, haven't fallen into the way they think they should act. And then they set themselves up, as Paul said, as their judge. See, we're not talking about major sin. We're not talking about correcting and dealing. It's this minor stuff that the enemy uses to nitpick and to bring division and strife. And that's what the Lord's telling me. Don't be a busybody in other people's affairs. Leave them with God. You know, don't concern you. Leave it alone. Let them stand before the Lord, because they will bear their own burden. But don't let them do it to you either. You know, don't let them dump their garbage. Don't matter who they are. Remember, the devil will use your friends and your family and the old nature. Just make sure you're listening to the Lord. And at least if you are wrong, if you're walking in the light you have, God will excuse you according to the light you've had, not according to the light they think you should have. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can be as Jesus was even at 12. So did you not know I must be about my Father's business? Lord, we want to be about your business and concerned with what you're concerned with, not out of just fear, Lord, of disobedience, which does have a consequence, because, Lord, we want to do that which is pleasing to you, because you've called us, Lord, to be in a different kingdom. You've called us, Lord, to be loyal, to lay up treasure in heaven, and to be fruitful, Lord, because it pleases you, Lord, to do this. Help us, Lord, to be concerned with what you're concerned with, and to take up the burdens that you give us and reject the burdens that people try to put on us. Keep us, Lord, from a Martha spirit, and give us a Mary spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.